Yo, podcast listeners, today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Clean Cut Meals. The yo is in reference to my Instagram story, so if you are on my Instagram, that will make sense. Clean Cut Meals offer a professional meal prep service and have various plans to suit your specific goals. They also change up their menus every week so you never get bored and can help you stay on track long term. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know I'm a big fan of using nutritional strategies that fit into your lifestyle and schedule that includes food that you enjoy and in alignment with your specific goals. So if you're short on time or you're just looking to get the time back from shopping, cooking, preparing and cleaning up after meals, then definitely go check the guys out. Clean Cut Meals helped me with all my nutritional needs in the lead up to running 250 kilometers to the Sahara Desert in April, and they'll be supporting me in my next challenge coming early next year. A little bit more on that at the very end of today's podcast. To get 20% off all first-time orders, go to cleancutmeals.ie and enter the podcast code BKF at the checkout. That's BKF at the checkout for 20% off all first-time orders. If you have any other questions, you can just fire the lads over an email too. Now, let's rock with this week's episode.
You're listening to the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where Irish fitness entrepreneur Brian Keane answers your questions and interviews leaders in the world of fitness, health, mindset, and natural wellness. Come join the fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is going to be a topic. I'm not even sure what I'm going to call this one or title it. This is going to be a press record and talk episode. And I'm basing it off the feedback from a Q&A that I did recently, where I spoke on mental health issues at the end. And just from the feedback from that, I wanted to create a full episode just to have a place to send people, or for anyone that's dealing with families or friends that have issues with it, or anyone that benefits from listening directly right now. I wanted to expand and flesh it out, so apologies in advance if I jump back and forth on this one. I don't know what topics I'm going to cover. I don't know what I'm going to speak on, because I never do when I do these topic ones, but I hope it helps. So I'm going to talk on dealing with mental health, depression, anxiety, that kind of realm. Mental health is thankfully kind of coming out of that closet of taboo topic in Ireland and the UK. I know I've got listeners from all over the world, but it's been quite a taboo topic that is starting to get a lot more light in recent years. And again, how you define mental health is very, very subjective to each person. For some people, it's someone that's on medication for depression is a term of mental health. For others, it's people that are constantly anxious. And for everyone else, it can be somewhere in between. And I'm going to, as I said, jump back and forth. And I'm not a clinical psychologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to talk about people that have a an actual chemical imbalance in their brain. This episode is going to be aimed at circumstantial and environmental mental health more so, purely because I feel okay to speak on that topic as someone that has came through it and out the other side. And your mess becomes your message. I'm fortunate I don't have a chemical imbalance in my brain. And to be honest, the more understanding I have on mental health, the more I realize that there's a very, very small percentage of people who have that chemical imbalance. But there's a large portion of people who deal with mental health. And I want to speak on that. So we tend to classify mental health, and apologies if you have a different definition, but in realms of depression and anxiety. And when I think of mental health, I think of the two spectrums, and depression is on one side and anxiety is on the other side. And I'm not speaking people with schizophrenia or any of those issues. I'm talking the day-to-day side of things, the environmental side of things. But when I think of mental health, I think of those two spectrums. And depression really is worrying about what's happened in the past, and anxiety is worrying about what could happen in the future. And it's dealing with those two issues. And I've had experience in both. I had depression when I was in school, and I've never spoken on this in the podcast. I had depression when I was in school. As a teenager, I was bullied. I bullied a lot. Really, really hated it. I hated secondary school for periods of it. Like, I was miserable. I used to cry going in the mornings. I fucking hated it. And it's why I resonate with kids that are struggling with, you know, their life in general, teenagers, whether being bullied or pressure from home or whatever it is that's causing it. I've dealt with it. I hated it. It was probably a combination of physiological hormones as well, but I fucking hated it. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do with life. I didn't even know why I was here. I used to have really bad skin, really bad acne. It made me a really easy target. And even though I played sport and I could hide it to a degree, I used to hate it so much. And I know what it was like, because that depression just makes you not want to be here. Like, it's not like anxiety, where anxiety is nearly like you just want your brain to shut down. Depression, you just don't want to be here anymore. And there's tools, and I'm going to speak on it in today's podcast, and I'll jump between the two, because even though I think they are very different, they're not dissimilar in the sense that the tools that help you with one can help you with the other. And I dealt with that depression in my teenage years, and I was able to come out of it. And then in my 20s, I went the other way with anxiety. And one of the things that helped me come out of depression was setting higher targets for myself and working towards specific goals. And depression can sometimes kill people, because you feel like your ladders are not up against the right wall, or you feel like you've nothing, no reason for being, and there's nothing that you're put on the planet to do, which is ridiculous. It's the story you've told yourself, because everybody can help somebody else. The analogy I always use is, if you've joined the gym and done your first ever workout, you could still help the person on the couch. Your knowledge can serve them. Your motivation of actually going to the gym the first time can motivate them. You can help anybody. There's always somebody who can, you can serve and help, because you're ahead of them in some shape or form. And that can led me to a lot of anxiety, because when you're that type A personality, where you go from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, or you're always worried about things that could go wrong, that can lead you to a consistently uncomfortable and discomfort state that can have an impact on all areas of your life in a really negative way. So in today's podcast, I'm going to talk on identifying some of the things that can be causing it, how to stay on top of it, the actual practical strategies and tips that can help. And hopefully you get a lot from it. As I said, I don't know what direction this one's going to go. I'm just going to kind of free flow it and go with it. And hopefully that it helps. And the only reason I feel qualified to speak is as someone that's came through it on both sides and came out the other side. And now happier than I've ever been. I fucking love my life. But that took work. It took a lot of work. And I'm going to share a couple of things here. So the first thing is understanding that I work a lot of decisions on my life based off probability. And the chance of you having a chemical imbalance through actual neural misfiring in your brain are slim. You might, but it's very unlikely that you're listening to this podcast if you do. But you still may have an issue with mental health in some way, either anxiety or depression or just questioning life in general. You have to ask yourself the question, do you have a mental health issue, or do you have a too many negative people in your life issue? There's a big difference there, because a lot of mental health issues can come from environment and circumstance and not dealing with that environment and circumstance. And the first thing is the impact of the people that are in your life. I've regularly spoken on the podcast on you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And you've got to get very, very clear on who that circle of people are. Because if those five people are five negative people, there's been studies shown time and time again that if you live or hang out and spend all your time with five overweight people, you're likely going to become the sixth. If you spend all your time with five or six healthy and people that go to the gym every week, you're likely to become the sixth. If you think about your circle of friends right now, I nearly guarantee you've got personality traits, either sense of humor wise or eating habits or training habits, that are a combination of those five people you spend the most time with. And this may be virtual, it may not be physical. I've spoken in the past, I may be one of your five people. If you're consuming all my podcasts, if you're on my Instagram every day and you're consuming my content, I may be one of your five people. It's just in the virtual sense. You have to ask yourself, if you've got a mental health issue, have you too many negative people in your life? One of the things I struggled with so much, it took me fucking nearly all of my early 20s, nearly all of my early to mid 20s, was differentiating between who was really a close friend, who was really positive and supporting what I was trying to achieve, and I was doing the same with them, and who was actually being a negative drain. I spoke on the podcast on how to deal with negative people, about emotional vampires, and that there's three types of people. There's people who are energy chargers that you talk to them and they light you up. They give you energy every time you speak and you feel like you conquer the world after speaking with them. There's energy drainers. There's people that are emotional vampires and will feed off your positive energy and make you feel worse. They're the people that you walk into a room when you've been having a good day and they bring you down. They're the people that if you've been having a bad day, they make you feel even worse. They're emotional vampires, they're drainers. And then there's the neutral people who kind of don't really do either. You got to be very, very clear on who your five people are. And if you're hanging around with five negative people, you are 100% going to fall into mental health issues of either depression or anxiety or fucking questioning the world in general and your existence in general, because you're going to see it the way they see it. We're not sophisticated enough as a species to be able to control everything that we think. If you don't program your mind will be programmed. And if you're around those people, and the example I use in that How to Deal with Negative People episode was, it's like the line, the old Chinese proverb that you lie down with dogs, you'll get fleas, and then you'll wonder how you got the fleas. It's exposure therapy. When you're exposed to negative people and you're consistently hanging around with them, their thoughts become your thoughts. And then the way you see the world starts to become the way they see the world, and vice versa. You can't control that. It's just a product of our environment. It's the product of the way we're evolved. We're social creatures evolved to be able to see what the rest of the group saw. It's what kept us alive in group hunter-gatherers years or thousands of years ago. Now being around those people makes you fucking miserable because you're starting to see the world in that light. So the first thing I would ask yourself is, if you have an issue with depression or anxiety or any issue with mental health in general, you're not happy with your life through circumstance in whatever way, shape or form, get to the people first, because everything else can take care of itself. The job is easier to change. The body composition and the way you look is easier to change. The people are fucking difficult to cut. And I spoke about strategies that you need to understand. There's certain people in your life that you need to physically cut away completely. If you've got that friend who you grew up geographically, they're one of your best friends, and we all have this person that we can think of five people that we grew up with and we still surround ourselves with them and hang out with them, and there's that one friend that's really negative and hates their life and projects all their shit onto you, but you still hang out with them because you've known them for so long or you grew up with them your whole life. Why the fuck are you still hanging out with that person? That person that, just because you were friends with someone geographically, if you're different people, you're not the same person you were when you were 7 years old. You're not the same person you were when you were 15 years old. You're completely different now. You don't need to be spending time with those people or spending all your free time, particularly if they're making you a worse version of you. Ask yourself those questions and then cut those people if you need to. If you're not able to cut them physically because they're your family members or your boss or people you work with, cut the words that their weight, cut the weight that their words have. You need to not be around them the whole time listening to their fucking negativity, because that's going to start programming the way you see the world. Of course you're going to have mental health issues. If you lie down with fleas, if you could lie down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's what's going to happen. You can control that, which brings me on to the next point. Control the controllables. The things that you're able to control, control. The things that you're not, get rid of. So control the controllables, and the things you can't, not necessarily get rid of, but the things you can't let go of is a better way of phrasing that. Because I'm not very religious. For those of you who follow me and know a lot of my personal side. I'm not very religious, spiritual maybe, universe maybe, but not religious. I think organized religion, I have my own personal opinions. They don't support me, so I don't believe in them. They're not my belief systems. But I love the serenity prayer, which is, God, grant me the serenity to understand the things I can change, the strength to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's controlling the controllables. That is understanding that if you have an issue with mental health, there's things that you can control and there's things you can't control. You can control the way you see things. You can control the tools that you have in your toolkit that support you with your mental health and make you feel better. You can control those things. You can't control the economy. You can't control who's the president. You can't control what people say about you. You can't control the outside opinion that the world has on the things that you're doing. You can't control that. So let it go. It's not helping you and supporting you. If it doesn't serve you and move you one step closer to your goal, any attachment you have to it and any energy you give it is wasted energy. What you give energy to and what you focus on expands. Stop giving energy to things that are going to expand, that aren't going to help you. Giving energy to the economy or to the fucking news or the shit that's going on in the world or the opinions that other people have on you, that's wasted energy, and that's what's going to expand, and that's not going to help get you closer to where you want to be. That's not going to help your depression. That's not going to help your anxiety. That's not going to help your mental health in any way, shape, or form. But do control the things that that you can control. I've got strategies and I've got different tools that I use and consistently do over time. One of the analogies that I like to use, like mental health, and I've spoken about this because I have an anxiety section in my book, The Fitness Mindset. For those of you who haven't read that and deal with it 100%, this is a right hook. Go get the book, go get a friend that has it, go download it, go do something, but read that section. And one of the things I talk about in there was my own strategies that I use in terms of dealing with it. And you may have different strategies on top of it, but test out what works and then double down on what works. One of the ones that has supported me and I will do until the day I die is training or exercise. So many times when I feel anxiety hitting me, and this is something I still deal with, and as I spoke about, I went off track. As I said, I'm going to free flow this one. The analogy I use for mental health is like sweeping the floor. You can sweep the floor today and it's clean, but if you don't sweep it every day and stay on top of it, it gets dirty again. That's what mental health is like. So it's not a case of, right, you fix it and then it's done. It's a flick of a switch. The light is on or off and then you don't deal with it anymore. But you stay on top of it every day. Fixing your mental health is a little bit like pushing a merry-go-round. Like if you push a really heavy merry-go-round that weighs a ton, it takes a lot of effort in the beginning to get it moving. It takes a lot of effort to just get it off the ground and get it swinging. And you push and you drag and you pull, but eventually it moves. And then when it starts to spin, it's very easy to keep it going. You just literally tap it and keep spinning it every couple of minutes. That's what your mental health is like. It's difficult in the beginning to get right. It's difficult to climb that mountain first and get the merry-go-round moving. It's difficult to get off the ground initially. But when you get moving and you start learning the strategies that help you, it's very easy to stay on top of it. Very simple to stay on top of it. It's not easy, because easy still means you have to apply it and do it every day. But one of the strategies that I use, exercise and training, is massive for me. I think it's probably one of the most underrated tools in the toolkit for dealing with mental health. I think you need to put a lot of other stuff in place first, but exercise is a huge one. For me, when I feel a wave of anxiety hitting me, and that's something I still stay on top of, it's normally pent-up energy. And all that pent-up energy can cloud my judgment when I'm making decisions. And something that I've had to really work on as a personality trait over the last few years is my impulsivity. And I'm really, by nature, super, super impulsive. Super system one, super chimp, reptilian, Labrador brain, where I would jump to a conclusion on something, or I'd be very impulsive on the decisions I make, and I don't step back and wouldn't rationalize them. And I would also be very emotional on the decisions I'd make. It's something I'm very, very conscious of, and something that I try not to do now, because I'm aware it's something that's put me into a lot of bad circumstances in the past that could have been easily avoided by making a better choice and being more rational. So one of the things that I do now regularly is I ask myself, am I making a decision? Am I doing this now out of emotion, or am I doing this now out of rationale? If I'm being emotional, or am I being rational? Because if I'm being emotional, I'm letting my physiology and I'm letting my chimp brain. I'm letting my monkey brain make a decision because I'm not of a high enough consciousness to be able to step back and see the forest amongst the trees and realize that, you know what, the way I'm feeling right now may not be helping the decision that I'm making. When I exercise, it gets rid of all that pent up energy and makes me allows me to be a lot more rational. So if I feel a wave of anxiety hitting, for example, I used to get really bad social anxiety when I go out on a night out, partly down to having dealt with irritable bowel, IBS, which is stress related, and partly down to social anxiety in general, afraid I'd say the wrong thing or I'd make a fool of myself. And that social anxiety for me would manifest itself in pent up energy. My physiology would completely change. My state would change. And I'd feel this kind of wave of like, where I'd feel all my energy kind of sucking up into my head. And it was like, I wasn't rational anymore. I wasn't making decisions from a rational place. And I used to make up excuses. And when I would act out emotionally, and I'd be like, no. And I would automatically make up some excuse to why I couldn't go to a social outing or a social occasion. And then when I would calm down 2 hours later, I'd realize how ridiculous I was. And I'm like, well, that was stupid. You acted out of emotion there. Exercise allows me to disconnect that, because that pent up energy, it's one of the reasons I don't make any decisions right away now. Generally, I will generally train on a decision. If I'm unsure on something, a person, a place, a thing, an opportunity, I'll normally train first and then I'll make the decision after. Because if I get excited or I get overwhelmed or I get low or feel on edge about something, that energy doesn't support me. That physiology state doesn't help me. When I train, it puts me back to baseline and allows me to make a more rational choice. That's getting out of your head. And a lot of people with anxiety, in our brain, we've got our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of our brain that allows us to see it's the evolved species. It's what has put us top of the food chain. It allows us to envision things in the future. We have theory of mind, we have where I can think about what you're thinking about. A lot of other species on the planet can't do that. We can do it as humans. We're able to think about what other people are thinking about. We can think about what they're thinking about us. And we're also consistently able to live and think about things in the future and vision things and work towards them. That's an evolutionary trait of your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that's evolved to see that. That also lends itself to a state of anxiety, because you can also envision the things of what can go wrong. And I spoke in the mindset section of the fitness mindset that fear is the fear of danger, of immediate danger that could happen. Anxiety is the fear that something bad could happen without any real danger. And they're not the same thing. I didn't really understand the difference for a long period of time. And exercise allows you to disconnect from that slightly. It allows you to be a little bit more rational on the decisions you make, and it allows you to take control of your brain a little bit better if anxiety is your particular issue. If depression is your issue, you can get that serotonin release from training, and that can change your state nearly instantly. On top of depression, can come from a lack of confidence. If you feel like you haven't got a reason for being and you feel like you have nothing to offer anybody or anything, what training can do is it can help build you confidence, because it helps you set mini targets and mini goals that you can work backwards from. And confidence comes from saying you're going to do something and then doing it. And the analogy I normally use is like a legs on a table. And every time you do something that you said you were going to do, you add another leg to that table. Training allows you to build a lot of those legs. It's why people that have never worked out and then start running or start going to the gym 6 months later are transformed. Psychologically, transformation through physical suffering. They've transformed the way that they are, their being, their confidence, because they've set many targets in the gym. Because you have to set many targets. When you go into the gym and you can only do 5 minutes on the treadmill the first time, the next time you do 6 minutes, that's a mini win. You've set a target. Then you're like, I wonder, can I do seven? And then you end up doing seven and you hit all these mini wins that consistently give legs to your table and make you feel more confident. You can come out of depression very, very quickly by doing that, because you now build up a self-esteem in yourself. And I joined the gym at 16 and it was a big thing for me, because it allowed me to set tangible targets that I could work towards. And when you're hitting those targets consistently, you just end up setting bigger ones then. For me now, it's I set Marathon to Sabah, that 250-kilometer run to the Sahara, because I needed something big that allows me to physically suffer so I can psychologically transform. It's relative. That for you may be walking around the block after work when you're tired, and you know you're going to be tired, but you do it anyways. And I've spoken in the past that successful people do what they have to do, whether they want to or not. And when you start to reframe that, and realize that exercise is a way to get mini wins every single day, where you're working to targets, and you may take one step back to take two steps forward. That can happen, where you slightly regress, but you progress over the long term. And exercise can help that. That's a controllable. For mental health, you can control that because you can choose to go to the gym. And whether it's depression or anxiety, that can help you because it works in different ways. If you have anxiety, it gets you out of your head and allows you to use that pent up energy elsewhere. If you have depression, it allows you to get a serotonin release, which is a happy hormone release, and it allows you to build up confidence by setting mini targets as you go along. That's one strategy you can do. Other things are going to be down to experimenting with what works for you. Some people use meditation. Same idea. It's transient hyperfrontality. It's that part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex. When you shut that down, that's what meditators get. That's what some mindfulness people get. That's what happens when you train really extreme. You shut down that part of your prefrontal cortex and you get that transient hyperfrontality, transient changing hyperfrontality, the front part of your brain. And you're able to switch that off. That can allow you to get out of your head. And when you get out of your head and you cut down that mental chatter and mind chatter, that can all help you. It doesn't matter how you do it. Some people will do it through meditation, mindfulness, yoga. It doesn't matter. But do something that is a practical strategy that allows you to get a physical release in some way, shape, or form, or a mental release in some way, shape, or form, and that supports you and serves you long term. Yes, you can get a hit from cocaine or heroin. You can do it from drugs as well. Whether you can sustain that long term, probably not, particularly not recreational drugs. Some people use their drugs that they've been prescribed by a doctor, which again are probably oversubscribed in a lot of cases, because if you've got mental health or depression because of a divorce, that's circumstantial. Yes, you'll have a brain chemical imbalance because of the way your body's responded and the way your physiology's responded, but that's not a long-term chemical imbalance. That's circumstantial. You felt fine, you now have a divorce, and now you feel miserable. That's circumstantial and environmental that's made you feel that way. You've had a breakup. You feel the same way because your boyfriend or your girlfriend left you or cheated on you. That's circumstantial. That's environmental. Taking medication to deal with that is masking the problem. It's putting a band-aid over a bleeding wound. It doesn't help. But when you put other strategies in place that you can sustain long term and then give you all the other benefits, you can stick with that. Control the controllables, whether you're depressed or anxiety or dealing with a circumstantial issue where you feel like lost, that can help. Whatever it is for you, double down on it. For me, it's exercise and it's always helped me. For you, it might be yoga. It might be meditation. It might be mindfulness. Experiment with it and find what's working. The next one kind of ties a little bit with the first point. You have to ask yourself the question, what's causing your mental health? Because one of the things I do with people coming through my mentorship programs is I tell them I don't care what the problem is, but lack of identification of the problem is a real fucking problem. I don't care if you have a bad, poor knowledge in terms of a personal trainer. I don't care if you don't understand how marketing works. I don't care. But I do care if we can't identify where the problem is, because if there's a leak somewhere and you can't see where the leak is, you can drown a pretty big ship that way. And finding out mental health, finding out what's causing it is absolutely massive. It's crucial. It's actually probably the single most important thing you can do, because if you don't know what's causing it, there's nothing you can do to fix it. You can mask it, you can numb out from it, you can disconnect from it, you can do all these things, but you'll never fucking fix it if you don't know what's causing it. So you have to ask yourself, is it a person? Is it a place? Is it an environment? Is it a situation? Do you feel this way because you've had a breakup? Do you feel this way because you were abused as a child? Do you feel this way because of the relationship you have with your mother or your father or your husband or your wife, or that they're emotionally detached from you and you feel that you're not worthy? Ask yourself these questions. They're difficult. That's why we don't ask them. Nobody wants to ask these fucking questions, but this is what happens when you lean into that discomfort and you figure out what's causing it and you figure out what really is at the root of your mental health issues, then you can own that fucking thing. Because when you own it, you can change it, or you can control it. And when you control it, you can change it. But you can't do that until you identify the problem. The problem isn't the problem. Lack of identification of the problem is the problem. One of my mentors used to say to me that smart people have great answers and geniuses have great questions. Ask the question, what's causing it? It's not about what's wrong with you. That's not the right question. What's causing you to feel this way is a better question. When you can stay on top of that. And for me, a lot of my issues with it came from an unworthiness. It came from dealing with shit that went on that I did that I wasn't happy with, and stories I told myself about my past and about the way I was showing up, and that I wasn't worthy, and that just because somebody didn't love you or pay the attention to you or whatever it is, all these fucking stories, that's no excuse to be a victim. Because it's really fucking easy to be a victim. It's really fucking easy. And it's really nice at times because people jump on your back and be like, oh, whoa, this person, it's so hard that that person left you or that person didn't love you or whatever it is. It's really fucking nice because you sink into that victim mentality and people feel sorry for you. And that's really addictive. And you need to fucking get on top of that right now, because you can't be a victim and a victor at the same time. You just fucking can't. You have to choose. And you can choose to be a slave and a victim to mental health, or you can choose to be a victor and come out the other side. You can choose to have your mess become your message. You can choose to be a stronger version of you. You can choose to control the controllables and do everything in your power to become a better version of you. You can choose that. That's a fucking choice. Or you can play the victim. Or you can be that person that the world, everything in the world is wrong. It's them. You know, I love the thought process, and I can't remember, was it Mother Teresa or Gandhi, that you can go outside your front door and you can wrap the whole world in cotton wool, or you can put on a pair of shoes. That's what you can do. You can try and change the whole fucking world. You change everybody. Everybody in the world. All the circumstances. All of it. You can try and do that, or you can change yourself. You can put on your own shoes and you can change yourself in the way you're seeing it. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Everything is a choice on how we choose to see it. When you realize that there's something causing this problem, there's something causing your mental health to make you feel this way, and you choose to not be a victim about it anymore, and you choose to start seeing it in a different light, you can change it. That's the fucking secret. And again, when you make that decision, it can be as simple as fucking light switch from on to off and making the decision that I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to let a lack of love. I'm not going to let abuse. I'm not going to let opinions. I'm not going to let society dictate how I fucking feel anymore. I'm going to choose to feel this way myself. I'm going to choose to live life on my terms. I'm going to choose to make myself better. I'm going to choose to do the things that I know I need to do. I'm going to choose to cut the people out who I need to cut. I'm going to choose to see the world a different way. Choose it. It's a fucking choice. Find out what's causing it and then choose to stay on top of it. When you stay on top of it, when you tell me what you do every day, I'll tell you where you'll be in a year. You have to stay on top of it. It's like cleaning the floor, as I spoke on earlier. It's not a case of, right, I'm not being a victim anymore. That's it. I'm not having mental health. It's as simple as making that choice, but then you have to stay on top of it. You have to do it every day. You have to stick with what got you to the ball game in the first place. If you know that training and exercise helps you, if you know not speaking to your mom or dad helps you, if you know being around and not being around these negative fuckers who tell you you can't do anything, or always throwing their opinion at you to tell you that you shouldn't be thinking this way and you shouldn't be a dreamer, or you shouldn't be throwing your life away because you want to aspire to this way of being or aspire to become a better version of you to serve the world. If you know not being around those people makes you better, stop being around those fucking people, because that's a choice. Stay on top of it every single day, because very easy to let bad habits creep in. Habits are hard because they're forming. What you do every day, you don't decide your future. You decide your habits, and your habits decide your future. Who you spend your time with, what you do every day, they're your habits. If you've been doing something for the last 20 years that hasn't been supporting you, if you've been around people for the last 10 years who haven't been supporting you, if you've been doing something that makes you miserable every day for the last 5 years that doesn't support you, that's not that easy to change. You can change the way you think about it, but it's still a habit. It's hardwired and it's ingrained in there. I spoke in the fitness mindset in the habit section that changing a habit is like seeds. When you plant a seed first it's very easy to take it out of the ground in the first week or two. But if it's been there for 20 years, it grows into a fucking oak tree. That's a lot harder to uproot. You're not going to change it overnight, but you can change the way you see it. And you got to be very, very wary of what you do every day is going to dictate how you are in the next 5 years. If you're not happy with the way that's going, you need to change it. This may be the only life you get. This may be the only relationship you get. This may be the only job you get. Ask yourself that question. That's one of my success metrics that I use when I break my life into quadrants. I ask myself, if this is the only job I ever got for the rest of my life, is it what I would do? When the answer is a hell yes, I keep going. I ask myself, is this relationship, if I have to stay with this person and this is the person I grow old with and die with, is this the person I want to be with for the rest of my life? If that answer is yes, then you stay with them. If the answer is no, you have to start questioning it. This may be the only life you get. This may be the only relationship you get. This may be the only job you get. You have to make that choice and then stay on top of it every single day. After that, just understand, and this is speaking to myself, life is fucking simple. We overcomplicate the shit out of it. Make a list of the things that make you happy. Make a list of the things that make you unhappy. Do more of the things that make you happy. Spend more time with the people that make you happy. Do more of the experiments or the experiences that make you feel fulfilled. Make a list of the things that make you unhappy, the people who bring you down, the emotional vampires, the people who drain your energy, and the circumstances and experiences or places that you hate to be in, and do less of it. It's that simple. Sometimes we don't have a mental health issue. We have a fucking life issue. Dealing with life and dealing with not putting ourselves first because we're worried about opinions or we're worried about what someone will say, our parents, our friends, our society, whoever the fuck it is, we're worried about what they'll say. It's not about that. You get one life. You're getting one life. You know, you may believe in reincarnation, you may have religious belief systems, but right now, this physical world, you get one life. And you're going to fucking question what other people have to say about it. You're going to let other people's opinions become your reality. You're going to let other people's decisions and the way they think you should live your life dictate what you should do in your one fucking life. If I told you, you got one car, you get one car for the rest of your life. This is your car. This is what you get. You would look after that car and you would make sure that nobody fucked up that car because it's the only one you get for the rest of your life. But yet we let people fuck up our whole lives. We let people emotionally destroy our car. We let people fucking throw their opinions in. I guarantee you, if I gave you this new car today and said this is the only one you get for the rest of your life, you'd look after that. You'd make sure it ran well. And if anybody came along with keys to scratch it, you'd be like, get the fuck away from my car. Don't touch it. But yet we let people come in and we let people use the emotional fucking car scratching keys, come in and dictate what we should do. We let their opinions fill us. We attach to them and then we make decisions based on what they said. You get one fucking life. One life. Make a list of the things that make you happy. Make a list of the things that make you unhappy. Do more of the things that make you happy. Do less of the things that make you unhappy. After that, it's just about not being that victim anymore. Being a victim is a choice. It's all a choice. Everything. The way we choose to see it. The way we choose to see our life. The way we choose to see the world. Being a victim is a choice. And be careful because it's a very nice choice. It's easy. It's a very easy choice to make. It's the one you'll automatically, you will always go to the path of least resistance. It's the easy one to make. To be that victim. Because people feel sorry for you. And people will be like, oh, poor Johnny or poor Brian or poor Mary. They've got mental health issues. They've got depression or their boyfriend left them or their girlfriend left them or they lost their job. Oh, poor fucking woe's me. That's what happens. And it's really easy to get sucked into that. If you do what is easy, your life will be hard. If you follow the path of least resistance, your life will be hard. If you do what is hard, your life will be easy. That much I can promise you. One of the reasons that I love training so much is it's an unbelievable metaphor for life. When you lean into the discomfort of workouts, you get stronger. You build more muscle. You increase your metabolism and lose body fat. If it's cardio, you get aerobically stronger. You lean into the discomfort of a workout and you get stronger. You get better. When you lean into the discomfort of mental health, You start asking the questions you don't really want to ask, why you feel this way. You start disconnecting yourself from the people who aren't supporting you. They may be people very close to you. You start getting better. Your mind starts to clear. You stop being a victim. When you do what is hard, your life will be easy. One of the reasons that I train the way that I train, and I train to the point where I get sick, because it's hard. It makes me suffer. And I get psychological transformation through physical suffering. I fucking dealt with it. I've been through it. I've been depressed. I've been anxious. I've dealt with mental health. I've questioned why I was here. I didn't want to be here during lots of those times. I didn't know what the fuck I'd offer the world. I was like, why am I even here? What's the point? I have nothing to give anybody. It's a story. It's a victim mentality. It's fucking easy. It's the path of least resistance. It's easy to tell yourself you've nothing to offer. Yes, of course you have something to fucking offer. Everybody knows something that can help somebody else. Everybody has something that can help somebody else. Some people it's on a grander scale, for some it's smaller. But everybody has that. But you got to choose to see it another way. The reason I'm so big on psychological transformation through physical suffering is because it's what's helped me. I'm not saying it's what's going to help you, but it's helped me. It's made me be more grateful for the things that I have. Pushing my body to a physical limit. Running 250 kilometers through the Sahara. Running every day. I fucking hate to run, but I do it every day because I hate it. And it gives me a psychological edge. I get up at 5 a.m. every morning because I hate the mornings. I hate to get up in the morning. I hate getting out of bed. But I do it every morning because it gives me an edge. It gives me a psychological edge and it makes me fucking suffer. And I do these things. I do ice baths. I do extreme heat. I do all these things because it makes me suffer. It's hard. I don't really want to do it. But I know it makes me stronger. It makes me see the world differently. It gives me all the benefits physically, but it makes me see that when you choose to suffer and you control the controllable suffer and you choose controlled suffering to be mentally stronger, it's a hell of a lot better than choosing the mental suffering from lack of control, because that's hard. Because sometimes the thing that makes us so uneasy and depressed and anxious is the lack of control in a situation. It's not knowing what another person's going to do. It's not knowing how that job interview is going to go. It's not knowing what that social environment in that new gym will be like. It's not knowing. It's a fear of not knowing. And that's a lack of control. Mental health can come from a lack of control. Start controlling the controllables. Start controlling the way you see it. Start controlling the suffering, because you're going to suffer fucking one way or the other. That much I can guarantee. If you deal with mental health, I fucking promise you're going to suffer, because you're going to suffer either through lack of control, through the mind chatter that's going on in your brain, or the depression that you have. You're going to suffer. Or you can choose to own it. You can choose to not be a victim anymore. You can choose to be a victor and be like, I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to suffer on my fucking terms. I'm going to suffer in the gym. I'm going to suffer by running. I'm going to suffer in this ice bath. I'm going to suffer by leaning into this conversation. I'm going to suffer by my fucking choice. That will make you mentally stronger. Make the choice. Who you've been is not who you are now. And who you are now is definitely not who you have to become. They're not the same thing. If you want to shine like a diamond, you need to be cut like a diamond. Diamonds are made from fucking pressure. The pressure makes you stronger. Pressure in a tire makes it stronger. It gives it more resistance. It makes you fucking tougher. Make the decision to change now. Make the choice. Who you are right now, what you've done in the past, isn't who you are. And it isn't who you need to be, and it isn't who you're going to become. You can make the choice. Do you want to be a fucking diamond? Or do you want to be crushed? The mental health, the stories, the people, everything, all of it. You can let it crush you. You can let it take over. And it can feel like a fucking demon. It can feel like Jekyll and Hyde, where a wave comes over you and somebody just takes control. And that mental health. And I get it. That feeling of being not in control because you're not strong enough. It's hard. It's really fucking hard. And I know, and I remember being there. I remember living it. I remember experiencing it. It's horrible. Like, it's, nobody wants to feel that way. Ever. And no one wishes it on anybody else. But if that's you, realize you can change it. There's no new problem out there. It's written down somewhere. You just got to go and find it. And this is why I record, this is why I'm recording this episode. It's a fucking episode I don't want to publish, but it's why I'm recording it. Because I've been through it. And your mess becomes your message. You don't have to let it define you. You don't have to let it determine what direction you take your life. But you do have to ask some better questions. And you do have to start owning it. And you do have to start becoming a victor and not a fucking victim. And you got to stay on top of it. You got to ask yourself, are there too many people that are negative in your life that are draining you emotionally? You got to control the controllables. You got to do the practical strategies and the tools that help you. Exercise, training, meditation, mindfulness, whatever it is. The tools that help you keep them. You got to ask what's causing it. Because without that, nothing fucking matters. If you don't get to the root, you can put every plaster you want over a bleeding cut, but if it bleeds, it's just going to bleed straight out. You got to find what's causing it, and I know it's not going to be easy, and it's really uncomfortable, and I don't want to ask those questions, and I still don't want to ask those questions, but I fucking ask them anyway, because I know I have to. You got to stay on top of it. Tell me what you do every day, and I'll tell you where you'll be in a year. You may not be happy with where you are right now. That's fine. You don't have to be. But it's a choice to be happier in a year's time. And what you do today will dictate that. Start now. Don't wait for all the lights to go green. Don't wait for fucking next week. Don't wait for the next talk with somebody that will help you. Do it now. Right now. Make the decision. Right now. There's an old Chinese proverb that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the next best time is today. Get on top of it. Make a list of the things that make you happy. Make a list of the things that make you unhappy. And start doing more of the things that make you happy. And stop letting society or your family or your friends or your work colleagues dictate the things that make you happy. You don't want to go to a nightclub at the weekend because you're an introvert and you want to sit inside and read a book with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You do that. You don't have to listen to what society tells you is the right thing to do. Do the things that make you happy. Not because everybody else does them, but because they fill you with joy. They fill you with the sense of, that was amazing. Not because everybody else says this should be amazing. And don't be a fucking victim anymore. Being a victim is a choice. Choose to be a victor. Choose to not let it define you. Make the choice. Who you've been doesn't need to be who you are now, and it definitely doesn't need to be who you are in the future. Diamonds are made through pressure. You will be stronger. You cannot touch me mentally because I've dealt with this. There's nothing in the external world can throw at me that I haven't dealt in my own mind and haven't told myself that my fucking demons haven't taken. There's nothing the external world can do. There's calluses on my mind. Because that pressure makes you stronger. Use it as an advantage. The reason I can take those hits and those words and the negativity is because there's nothing you've said about me that I haven't told myself in 10 times worse. Nothing. Because I've dealt with those fucking demons. I've dealt with that depression. I've dealt with that anxiety. I've dealt with that lack of self-worth. I've dealt with that reason for questioning why I'm even here. There's nothing anyone can throw at me because I've said it to myself in 10 times worse. Use it as an advantage because you can be fucking stronger. You have an advantage over the people that haven't dealt with it because they didn't have to come through that. They still have to deal with the opinions of other people and those words and let those words crush them. Your words are fucking worse. You know they've been worse. So choose to use it as an advantage because when you come out the other side, there's nothing in the external world that can touch you. You become unstoppable. You become fucking driven to do the things that you need to do and nobody can stop you. because there's not a fucking word that can be thrown in your direction that throws you off course because you've said it to yourself a million times and you've came out stronger because of it. Use it as an advantage. It's a choice. Being and dealing with mental health can make you stronger. It's a fucking superpower if you choose to deal with this and come out the other side, because you end up mastering your mind and coming out stronger and having those calluses. Those mind calluses can make you achieve incredible things if you choose to let it be a support system for you. That's my takeaway. That's my thoughts on mental health. That's my thoughts on dealing with it. It's my own issues with it. That's the advice I'd offer. And I don't know if it helps, and it's probably a niche episode, but it's there because I want it as a reference point for the people that do need it. I'm aware that the 95% of people that don't, none of it will land. But for the 5% of people that do, it will hit hard. And I want it to hit hard because it needs to. Sometimes you need something that shakes you and fucking hits you hard and roots you to your core and hits you to your core to make that change. And that's why this episode is why I recorded it and wanted to talk on it. It's not something I've talked about a lot on the podcast, apart from at the end of a Q&A once, which is what triggered actually the spawned off this episode. So I hope it helps. If it did, let me know. Hit me up on DM. Share it. Text your friends. Snapchat your friends. If you know you've got a friend, a family member that could do with it, that might help, put them onto it. That's why I recorded it. Not very fitnessy, not very nutritionally or nutrition based, but it'll go up as a standalone. So I hope it helps. And that's everything from today's episode. So I think I'll leave it on that. And I hope it helped.